CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Paul Williams said, "The key is commitment. Once you're committed, it's hard to back down." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who have a high level of commitment. Our first playmaker began his business by working from 4 a.m. until midnight, sleep for 4 hours, and start again, while our next playmaker was an Army paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne. With us today is the CEO of a company that was running at a loss of $6,000 to $8,000 each month and now has revenue of over $10 million in just 4 years. While our next CEO wakes up every morning wanting to defend our country through cyber defense solutions protecting sensitive data. These great playmakers are Nate Foreman. Nate is CEO of Foreman Therapy Services, and Chris Drake. Chris is CEO of Armor, and we'll begin today's show with Chris. As a founder and CEO of Armor, Chris Drake oversees the growth, direction, and innovation of the active cyber defense company solutions and services. Chris fights the status quo every day and ensures that the smart creatives at Armor are protected for the benefit of its customers and to protect their sensitive data. The leader in active cyber defense, Armor offers customer-centric security outcomes for retail and e-commerce enterprises, healthcare organizations, payment processors, and financial institutions. Armor protects highly sensitive data for the most security-conscious companies in the world. Well, Chris, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you have military roots as an Army paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne. How did your training prepare you for developing a business to protect your clients?
Sure. Well, a couple of things. First off, I joined the military because my entire family background is servants, whether firefighters, undercover officers, teachers for special needs children and whatnot. So I have a family background on being a servant. And so I joined the military because I wanted to do something much bigger than myself. There's a sense of purpose. And I really got to get that sense of purpose in the military. And then joining Armor, same sense of purpose. I'm protecting people every day, just like I did when I was in the Army. And I'm doing it where the battle is being fought today, which is the cyber wars.
Well, what got you into the cyber business? How much background did you have prior to starting what was Firehose and is now Armor?
Sure. Well, the typical way you get into cybersecurity is you've been hacked. You've been affected. You've woken up to what the real threats are that are out there. And before starting Armor, I owned a application development marketing firm. Used to build really big websites for really big companies, the likes of Fossil Watches, ABC, Coldstone Creamery, Qualcomm, big organizations. And one of those organizations, Butterball Turkey, that I had built the website for and was hosting, had been hacked. It was the first class action lawsuit ever in the history of cyber lawsuits, and I was right in the middle of it. And that's what kind of woke me up to realize that this was going to be a big problem, and I wanted to protect Butterball in the future and other companies.
Well, you've had quite a route through your company, because the company started originally about how long ago?
The idea started to develop a security solution for customers in 2009. We didn't launch our product until April 2011. We spent a couple of years developing the product, and so we've been in the market for just over 4 years.
Well, you started as Firehost.
That's correct.
You have changed recently to Armor, but you're also CEO at one time and founder. You are again, but right in the middle you became CTO and you took a step back. Talk a little bit about the transition and why it is now called Armor rather than Firehost.
Sure. So, I'm a technical founder, so I'm a developer by trade, and that's why I wanted to really think about, as the business was scaling, and we now have 1,200 customers in 45 countries, so great scale. And we kept hearing from the market that they loved our security solution, but they had their data at places that they wanted to maintain that. And that's when I said I really needed to focus on solving that problem. How do we secure people outside of our hosting environment? And that's where the name Firehost came from, firewall and hosting. It was a combination of the two. And so I spent that year as CTO, brought in a CEO so I could focus on the product. And we did just that, and we developed a solution that we now call Armor Anywhere, and really fell in love with the product name and decided that the company name being Armor really spelled out our value proposition of being between the customer and the threat and rather than the name Firehost, because we're no longer just providing our services through a hosting platform. We're now securing them, whether it's at AWS, Azure, their corporate-owned IT environment, things like that.
You also have another product called Armor Complete, which looks like it's similar to what you're doing prior to the change of the name.
Correct. Armor Complete is the world's most secure cloud. There's not a cloud environment in the world that has more security and has better outcomes than that product.
So with your two products, you're covering the cloud, you're covering their site too, to make sure that it can't. As we were talking prior to the show, it's almost a shield you're putting up between them and that hacker. So they have a difficult time getting through.
Correct. So it's a shield, and the underbelly is hard too. So think about it like a perimeter security is kind of like an M&M where you have a crunchy outside and a soft middle. Right, our level of security is kind of like an almond M&M, where it's a shield on the outside and then it's very hard center, and so that's how we think about our security. Is it's not just the edge; it's the entire stack, from the very front end where the hackers will try to come over to your website, all the way to the back end where your data lives within a database or files.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I am not a internet or a cyber person, but I would think this is a work in progress. I would think on a day-to-day basis, you are looking for ways that hackers can get into your client's systems, and you're always looking for ways to overcome that.
Yes. So our team is comprised of two real components of security team, a threat intelligence component. And this threat intelligence team comes from world-class leaders from backgrounds in the NSA and other three-letter agencies, PhDs in cryptology, very, very smart people. They are looking for what's called indicators of compromise globally. They're actually looking in the chat rooms where hackers live and where they're communicating to look for threats that haven't happened yet. That team comprises about 25 to 35 million IP addresses and updates our firewalls every 4 hours. So it's not daily. It's hourly, right? And so that's our threat intelligence team. And then our security operations center, they block 150 million attacks per month.
Well, you said something a moment ago about being the most secure. I believe that's the way you put it. How did you get to the point where you are the preeminent company to protect your clients?
Well, first off, that's a bold statement, right?
It is a bold statement.
We're the most secure cloud in the world. And the reason we feel confident about that statement is because we actually measure success. There's two real things in which you think about security, and we call it outcomes. So I mentioned 150 million cyber attacks per month. Out of that 150 million, we have a ratio of 6 million to 1. For every 6 million attacks, one gets through. We're transparent about that. Not everybody will talk about the one that gets through. Right. And so for that one that gets through, we have an average dwell time of 2 days. That means how long did the hacker on average stay on the environment before they were found out and removed from the environment? And when I give speeches at big trade shows or whatnot, and I talk to CIOs, I always ask them, what's your dwell time and what's your attack to infection ratio? And they always look at me with big eyes, and they write it down and they go talk to their security team, right? So, that's our benchmark. And I just challenge anyone to say, can you do better than that? If you're doing better than that, I'd love to know about it because we want to learn from it. But that's how we measure success.
Well, you also have interesting leadership concepts too. I was reading the Dallas Business Journal. It's about your job description. Hire great people and get out of their way. So you've talked about the fact that you have the secure cloud, but it's not so much just the services you provide. It sounds like it's even more important the people you hire. It's the people you hire that's the most important part of Armor.
And that's what's the scariest about the cybersecurity space is the shortage of those people. In the United States, we're down 250,000 people short for cybersecurity professionals that have the need in the nation. I was just at the FBI cyber division last week in D.C., and they have a major shortage. 1 million cybersecurity professionals short worldwide. If we were that short on physicians, this would be a national crisis. And so the people is what's really important. So what we do is we try to automate the simple tasks from those individuals so they're only working on the high value stuff. And absolutely, hire great people, get out of their way. And my job as a leader is to jump in friction points and try to remove obstacles.
So what I heard between the lines was you are always open to the right person. Looking for that kind of person that could help at Armor.
Oh, absolutely. We have open positions at any time for talented people in the cybersecurity space.
There you go. You heard it here first. Well, there's three other words I saw on an interview you had, intelligence, defense, and control. Talk about that.
So that's the combination of how we look at our security strategy. First is the threat intelligence, and that's understanding, being intelligent about the security landscape, knowing what's coming before it does, right? And that's what I was talking about, people from the NSA and that very forward-thinking environment that are in the chat rooms where the hackers are communicating and whatnot. So that's the intelligence side that makes us smarter. Defense is we actually take that intelligence that we gain and we protect our customers. So for an example, a big hack that came down about 6 months ago, we knew about it ahead of time and we actually mitigated the attack before it came in. Right. So it's a combination of not just knowing what's happening, but actually setting yourself up to defend it. And then control. And control is that once you establish a secured environment, is that it's maintained over time. Because there's these things called humans that are involved. And if you provide cloud infrastructure to an IT department over time, they may open doors that they didn't mean to open. Right. And so we want to make sure that those security controls that were in place at the beginning are maintained throughout their life cycle.
Well, you have a rather interesting leadership style. I brought that up just a few moments ago. How did you develop it? How did you learn to lead the way you do right now for your company, Armor?
So one of the leadership approaches that I like to take is really believing in engineers and finding and trying to maintain engineers. And what I mean by engineers, people think of engineers, they think support developers, software developers, and things like that. I think of engineers as problem solvers, dot connectors. And I want to protect them. I call them creatives on my LinkedIn profile and whatnot, but I really seek to protect these people because what really burdens the engineer people is manager. Management structure tends to put some unneeded burden on top of engineers. And so what I try to do is encourage them to stay great at what they do. So I talk to new hires all the time and I say, we need astronauts more than we need mission control. We have engineers in our organization. When I mean engineers, these people could be in sales, marketing, billing, and whatnot. They're problem solvers. We have many engineers in our organization that make more money, have more shares in the company than their managers. And that's atypical. And what that does is that makes them be great at what they do and go deep in what they do. We need specialists to be really successful in cybersecurity.
I mentioned before we were talking to you that I think this is a great company because it's going to get more important as we go on. So where does Armor go from here?
We just need to get the word out. So, you know, we've proven that we're highly effective on our security outcomes. We've done it for really large organizations across the globe. And now over the next coming quarters, you're going to see a lot more awareness creation, a lot more marketing and advertising, because there's a lot of organizations that are getting hacked every day. And if they had our solution, they wouldn't be.
It's interesting, just reading the news, you almost see something at least weekly, if not a couple of times a week, about some company being hacked. Do you know about those ahead of time, or are you surprised when you see that news?
Yeah, we certainly know about it ahead of time many a times, because unfortunately, you know, how do we get 1,200 customers in over 40 countries worldwide? We don't have sales staff in those countries, right? So they usually come to us, unfortunately, when they get breached. And we want to catch them before that happens. And there is a notification process that when the public finds out about it, but by that time, they have already migrated to us and we're protecting them.
Interesting how that problem goes throughout worldwide now. And everybody knows about it quickly. And methods are being taken. But again, you seem to be the method that will protect them more effectively than almost anybody else.
And that's because we take responsibility for it. Our positioning statement is between you and the threat. We, you know, the problem that I have in the cybersecurity space, if you follow that closely, is that it's filled with what I call blacksmiths. These are cybersecurity companies that are developing swords and shields for organizations to fight themselves, right? We're the knights. So we take swords and shields from the best blacksmiths out there. We built our own, and we actually wield them to fight the battle. And that's what's unique, is that the cybersecurity space has been putting the burden on companies' shoulders to bear.
Hence the name Armor, and you are the knights. Well, Chris, tell everybody again how they can find out more about Armor.
Of course, our website, armor.com, armor.com. Learn more about us, and then you can chat with any of our cybersecurity professionals through the site or give us a call.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Chris Drake is the founder and CEO of Armor. Don't go away. We're going to be back right after this with a man who gets by with very little sleep. His name is Nate Foreman. He's the CEO of Foreman Therapy Services. Back with Nate right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. As I mentioned before the break, we're going to talk physical therapy with Nate Foreman, who is an Oklahoma City native that moved to Dallas in 2007 to attend physical therapy school at UT Southwestern. Upon graduation, Nate took a job at a local sports medicine PT clinic. In 2010, Nate took a part-time job at a local therapy staffing company to pay off some student loans. In doing so, he learned the business and recognized a significant need in the industry. So in September 2011, Nate founded Foreman Therapy Services. FTS is a healthcare staffing company that assists physical therapists, occupational therapists, and speech-language pathologists in finding jobs. Headquartered in Dallas, FTS currently has more than 200 therapists on staff and have divisions in Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston. FTS was a 2015 recipient of the Dallas 100 Award, which recognizes the 100 fastest-growing companies in Dallas. Nate and his company were also featured recently on the cover of the Dallas Business Journal. A lot to talk about. Nate, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much. That was quite an intro.
It was quite an intro. There's a lot there about it. We're going to talk about that. But there's something I want to ask you about, because I saw this in the Dallas Business Journal. Tell us about the dartboard top with a pinata head and a celebratory gong.
Yeah, so we really try to invest in our culture and, you know, create a young, fun culture in our office. And so that is actually our birthday sombrero hat. So if it's your birthday at FTS, you're wearing that sombrero. And we the gong is a celebratory gong once we hire a therapist. So it's kind of fun. We've got quite a few young, fun folks in our office that, you know, we all have a good time.
Well, let's talk about what you do. Many people don't understand it. Talk about what you do and why you saw a need to put together your company the way you did.
Right. Yeah, so just kind of general background. So my trade is in physical therapy. As you mentioned, I went to UT Southwestern. And, you know, if you were to have gone back 5 years, I would have never thought that I'd be in this industry.
And so, because you wanted to do something else.
Right. So my initial plan going into PT school and even going through PT school was to start my own sports medicine clinic. And that was my first job, was to kind of train me in that direction. And I actually took a part-time job, like you said, at a home health therapy staffing company. And so just saw a need. And so I worked there for 6 months. I thought that I could really do it better. And so September 2011, I started FTS, which is Foreman Therapy Services. And we are a therapy staffing company that focuses on PTs, occupational therapists, and speech pathologists. And so it's been fun. I've learned a lot over the past couple of years, and we've been really fortunate to have grown a lot. And I've been really fortunate to have got some great folks in our team to really make that happen.
Well, let's talk about the very beginning, because you would go to far out suburbs if you had to. You were the company. You were the physical therapist when you went out there. You were losing money initially. You had 4 hours of sleep a day. You did everything. Talk about that environment and how it grew to where you are today, now doing, I believe, over $10 million in business.
Right. Yeah. So we'll probably do 10 or 11 million bucks for 2015. But yeah, it's been a grind. And, you know, most entrepreneurs know it, and especially ones that kind of started from scratch, that it's not easy. And so I it was interesting. initially, I had a staffing company, yet I was the only staff within the company. So it was somewhat humorous to go to our customers and try to – I was using all these plural terms, our company, our staff, when in reality
when
it was
our
me.
Was you.
it was just me. And so fortunately, we landed some contracts and got some work. And, you know, I really just tried to focus on quality of care and just providing the best possible service that I could. And so, you know, what that turned out to be is I, you know, took all the patients that no one wanted. I, you know, did all the work that nobody wanted to do. And so I became all of our customers' best PT. And if you do that for long enough, you can really gain some credibility. And so fortunately, our customers started moving over more volume to me. And, you know, at that point, had to come to a business decision of, okay, do I really want to do this and make this grow, or do I want to keep this like a mom and pop type setup? And so when we started hiring on therapists, that's really when it was a game changer. Because as you mentioned, I intentionally took a loss and turned this cash flow negative to where we were pretty much billing 15 to 20% less than we were paying our staff. And so my justification was, okay, in doing so, we're building a business. Granted, it's a business that lose money, that's losing money, but it's still a business. And so fortunately, we didn't have to float that for too long. And so now we're cash flow positive, and it's been fun. So we've experienced some tremendous growth over the past couple of years, and we're you know, hoping to keep the trend going for 2016.
We're speaking with Nate Foreman. Nate is a CEO and founder of Foreman Therapy Services, and it's really easy to find their website. It's Foreman, with an E after the F-O-R, F-O-R-E-M-A-N, ForemanTherapyServices.com. You can check everything they do out on their site. We've talked about how you grew, and now you're almost $11 million. Mm-hmm. How is your firm different from other services that do what you do?
Yeah, so that's what the big challenge is these companies are so easy to start, and so there's a really low barrier of entry, meaning that there is so much competition, and we just have to find ways to differentiate ourselves from all these other companies. And so you know, we'll walk into these career fairs that we go to with 100 other different vendors, you know, 100
and a lot of your competitors
like too. Yeah, and so, you know, we have to find a way to differentiate ourselves outside of those other 99. And so we really try to invest in culture and our brand. We our average therapist is probably in their late 20s, we'll say 1 to 5 years out of school. And so we try to target that type of therapist and really have all of our marketing efforts and recruiting efforts targeted towards that type of person. So back when I started 5 years ago, I was 27 years old, and so many folks were like, hey, you're so young. That's such a disadvantage. You know, you have no experience. You have no money. You have no connections. You know, you have no idea what you're doing, which were all true, but I tried to flip that to an advantage. And so I was like, you're right, but I do have my youth. I do have my work ethic. I do, you know, I can leverage that attribute of mine. And so that's kind of why I decided to create our brand as it is. And so, you know, if you're 28 years old, PT, OT, just getting out of school, you'll really want to work with us, because we really try to bring value even outside of work. We have so many different social outings and philanthropic outings for our staff, and really try to gain a community amongst our staff. And it's fun. You know, there's a lot of folks in our staff that are friends. I mean, there's a lot of friend groups within our staff. There's a lot of that team type of culture. So it's been really fun to work through.
As you're looking for therapists and pathologists, what are you looking for? What kind of person do you want on can be able to go out and do that work for your clients?
Yeah, so we're really receptive to most folks. I mean, we focus on quality of care and service that we provide to our customers. And so we really want to make sure that we have the right therapist on board. So, you know, we have a strong interview process that we have our new therapists go through. And so really someone that's really committed to our team and committed to growing our culture and kind of aligned with our brand. And so we typically bring on 3 to 5 new folks every single week. And so we've got a new, you know, a lot of new faces and personalities come in our office, you know, all the time. So it creates a really really fun environment.
Well, you are now in 5 cities in Texas, including Dallas and Fort Worth. You were in the red for a number of months when you started. Now you're getting close to $11 million. How did you get into 5 cities in only 4 years?
Yeah, so we really try to focus our customer base as strong, growing customers.
So, those cities are big cities for pathologists and therapists. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of our customers have branches in these different cities. And so how that works is we try to service them well in Dallas and to say, okay, now you go service our Houston branch, go service our San Antonio branch. And so,
which will more or less force you to open up another branch to take care of your clients.
Yeah, definitely. And so we're actually in the process of opening an El Paso branch in hopefully in the next couple of weeks. So it'll be fun. So we've already done a recruiting happy hour type networking trip out there earlier this year. And so we're really excited for that as well.
Well, I'm going to ask you about the future in a moment, but what's been your biggest challenge?
I would say controlling our growth is very challenging. You know, we turned on business every single day, and as an entrepreneur, that is painful. And growth, it's great, but it's also one of the biggest killers of business. And so, you know, we really try to maintain the same level of care with growth. And if we're going to compromise care, that's not worth growing to us. And so we try to grow safely, and we try to grow in a controlled way, and which means we're turning down business all the time. So fortunately, we've been able to grow well and grow safely. And so that's kind of my focus, is make sure we're growing, but also make sure that it's safe. And so, which is really challenging for me, because I'm kind of the gunslinger mentality. And so we really have a great team on staff that can protect myself from myself. And so super conservative folks in our office that can kind of,
they can pull you down to the ground a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I'm always the optimistic entrepreneur, and they can kind of draw me back to reality a little bit. And so it's a really healthy environment, you know, with our team.
Well, going to your 6th city, El Paso, in the near future, what is the rest of the future for Forman Therapy Services?
Yeah, so I'm really excited about our future. So I, you know, over the past 4 years, we've gone from zero to close to $11 million in revenue, with really very little infrastructure and very little knowledge up to this point. And so, seeing where we're at now as a company, I mean, we have such a strong infrastructure right now. We have, you know, we're really fully loaded in our sales department, our accounting department, all these departments that are important for business. And so I really feel like we have a strong platform to do some really special stuff. And so we're hoping to, of course, grow within our company. I mean, you know, I'm certainly looking at different acquisition opportunities. I'd love to diversify our customer base a little bit. Right now, we're primarily working in the home health sector. I'd like to work, you know, with hospitals and skilled nursing facilities and whatnot. And so, there's a lot of different angles that we could take, but it's going to be exciting. It's going
to
be fun.
That'll be exciting to find out where you've gone from here. So tell everybody one more time how they can get more information about Forman Therapy Services.
Yeah, so you can go to our website. It's www.formantherapyservices.com. We're also very active on social media. So we've got a Facebook page. We've got Instagram at Forman Therapy Services, Twitter at Forman Therapy. So give us a follow. Give us a like. We'd love it.
Well, Nate, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
This has been a terrific show. I'd like to thank our first guest, Chris Drake, CEO of Armor, and again, Nate Forman, who just listened to, CEO of Forman Therapy Services. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We'll be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.